I'm going to do a brief introduction. I'm Father Michael Hendrickson, the pastor of St. Francis Cabrini, in that far-off neighborhood known as Cambrian Park, so far away from here, right? So Father Mark asked me to assist a little bit. Good to be over here. So how would you know if you pray like the church wants you to pray? Is there a list somewhere? Is there like a checklist of what a personal Christian prayer is like? Actually, there is. It's tucked away in the tail end of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. There are 6 points the church says constitute personal prayer. So very quickly, in other words, so we don't go over an hour for Mass because I don't want to cause a riot, right? We kind of walk through these 6 points and to go from there. The first point might be pretty obvious, conversion of heart. That's not just being, I'm sorry for getting caught, you know, speeding and repentance for sins, but having purity of heart and for seeking the kingdom of God before all else. If I'm praying to God, but my life's really directed to something else, wealth, riches, whatever, I'm not really praying, or not at least certainly not praying very deeply. The second point, which is even more obvious, you have to have faith, okay? This means adherence to God beyond what we feel or understand. We know through faith that He is the door, He is the way. He is the one who can answer prayers. Just like tonight, this Canaanite woman understands Jesus can heal her daughter. She has faith. She has heard that this man can heal, even though he's a Jewish carpenter, and she has faith that he can do it. And Jesus rewards her faith. Then we got a third point, and this is all about today's gospel. It's called filial boldness. I know it sounds like a thoroughbred racehorse, right? Filial boldness. It means the boldness of being a child, literally the boldness of being a son, okay? So Christ gives us permission to petition God with this type of boldness. The Our Father opened up the gates. The prayer, the Lord's Prayer, opened everything up. When we're children, we have confidence that when we ask our parents for things, for the most part, they show up, right? Unless they're like bad things. We're supposed to have that with our God, okay? And so when it comes to adoring God, when we love in God, a very obvious thing is when you go out for dinner, right? At home, you may do the, you know, full grace and bless us the Lord and these like gifts. And then we go out somewhere to eat, and then it's like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, God, for the food, amen. Right? We're a little intimidated. We have to pray. We have a very outgoing faith, and so it's a little intimidating when you're in a public place and nobody else is doing it. But we're supposed to be bold. Don't be shy. You're a child of God. Pray like we know how to pray. Okay? Or if you're walking the street or stuck in traffic jam and an ambulance goes by, make the sign of the cross. Pray for that victim. Pray for that injured person, that sick person, that person with a heart attack, whatever. Right? This is what we should do. We should be bold in our prayer. Contrition. You know, none of us like to admit we do wrong, but we, as a child, we'd rather admit to our parents than to the school principal, right? So think of God that way. He already knows we did wrong. He knows everything. We're not telling him anything he doesn't already know. Just like mom knows we took the cookie out of the cookie jar. Likewise, God knows we sinned. So admit it. Seek God's forgiveness boldly and move on. Okay? Thanksgiving. You know, we should be thanking God for everything in our life that is not sinful. Okay? And by keep doing that, God will be pleased for our humility and raise us up. And then this is such as our woman in the gospel today, prayer petition, informing God what we want or what we need so that he can give it to us, okay? We have to pray with the expectation that God's going to give us what we want, all right? If we're asking for something good, okay, or even if it's good, but something he thinks is good for us. So, you know, pray for that Powerball, $600 million, great. But, you know, if you don't get it, he didn't think you needed it, all right? All right, so, but we can't, when we pray for something, we shouldn't pray that we're going to get it on the schedule we want, okay? Or perhaps he knows that we'll misuse it, and so he won't give it to us at all, okay? But that's being bold, like our woman tonight in the gospel. You know, she was not going to take no for an answer because she knew Jesus could heal her daughter. You know, God made the universe. I'm sure he can give you what you want if it's really good for you. Okay. The fourth point is called watchfulness, eyes on the prize. Now, Father Mark's pretty good at hiding his Marine background. Okay. But the beard certainly helps that. But, you know, he was a Marine. You do know that, right? Okay. I wonder sometimes, I think he hides that. I did about 8 years serving with Marines, so I know all about that, right? So despite the beard, the guy was a Marine, right? Marines stand watch, they stand guard, just like we sailors would stand guard. You're not allowed to go to sleep. When we pray, we have to have watchfulness. You pray whether things are going good or things are going bad. You just pray. The moment we stop praying is the moment we start losing to temptation. One stops, the other starts. Okay, watchfulness. The Catechism actually calls prayer a battle, because a lot of times we don't want to pray. That's the dirty secret of Christian prayer. A lot of the times we do not want to pray. We don't feel like it. We'd rather watch something on TV or Netflix or the internet or something. We'd rather do anything rather than prayer. And by overcoming that temptation not to pray and doing it, you know, we are being watchful, because one day our Lord will come again. The fifth point, praying in the name of Jesus. Now, we as Catholics are members of his mystical body, the Church. Instead of thinking of oneself as an autonomous person, one of 7 billion people walking the planet Earth right now, thinking about being in communion with Jesus, you know, the one who prayed in the hills of the Galilee and then walked across the Sea of Galilee, you know, the one who opened the eyes of the blind, the one who cured the girl today, okay? The one who prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and then rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. Imagine the power of your prayer if Jesus knelt next to you in the pew and he said to you, whatever you pray for, I'm going to pray for too. You'd be like, my prayer is going to be really powerful, right? Well, that actually is what happens. If you are a Catholic praying for something good, by being the mystical body of Christ, Jesus is saying, I will pray for your intention with you. Okay, that's the power of your prayer, okay? Being a member of the body of Christ. And the last point is praying in the Holy Spirit. At the Last Supper, it's very clear in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send you an advocate, a defender, the Spirit of truth, okay? That's the Holy Spirit. And so we get that Spirit when we are baptized, and he remains in us as long as we remain out of mortal sin, all right? So the simple way to think about it, we pray to the Father through the Son and the Spirit. Once again, sometimes we know we need something, but we can't quite articulate it. That's okay, because the Holy Spirit is telling God the Father, this is what this person needs. They may not articulate it correctly, but this is what this person needs, okay? So these are the six facets of prayer, a little checklist. You can hope when I was going through them, you can think about your own prayer life and going, I have that, but I don't have that, okay? Fair enough. Our world tells us that we should live in this life making our own decisions based on our own will and our own desires, that we should only turn to God in prayer when we really need something that's beyond our grasp, right? Something, I really want that Ferrari, but I don't make that type of money. I'm going to pray for it, right? That's the world speaking. Or we're in desperate. Somebody's ill, and so we turn to God in prayer, but up until then, we weren't praying at all. That's what the world says, how the world says we should pray, okay? The Christian prayer is something very different. It's conducted in good times and in bad. It calls for a conversion of heart. It calls for faith, for this filial boldness, for watchfulness, for praying as the member of the body of Christ, and in praying knowing you have the Holy Spirit within. That's what Christian prayer is truly all about. And I hope you found this checklist useful. You can find it at the back of the Catechism, about number 2600 or so, if you want to look it up yourself. Let's please stand for a profession of faith.